Like to go ahead this morning and deliver a message. The message is entitled, A Remnant Shall Be Saved, taken from Romans 9, 25 through 29, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Every time I begin a lesson here in Romans that I've been working on for some time now, I always want to go back and give a lot of introduction on what we've covered, like at the beginning of Romans 9, and give a lot of introduction on what we covered. But when I go back and start looking at it, it winds up being a sermon by itself, and it winds up being too long, taking up too much time. But I always do want to give some context on, as we begin each study. Like in verse 25 here, you start off here, but it's good to know some of the things that's gone on as we got to verse 25, as we get to verse 25. And I'm not going to say much, but I will tell you, here in Romans 9, he's writing to the church here at Rome, and one of the main topics he's dealing with is this thing about that all Israel shall be saved. God promised that. And then Paul had to go in and as he's explaining all of these things concerning national Israel, which God did establish as his people in a national sense, not in a spiritual, eternal sense. He established them to bring the Messiah through this nation. And Paul makes it clear here in Romans 9, though, that they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, which means that God, speaking of him saving all Israel, he's speaking of spiritual Israel, not the entire nation of Israel, every Jew and every Israelite. And he goes on to explain some of these things. He brought up, pointed to Abraham's sons, Isaac and Ishmael, and pointed out that Isaac, the promised child there that him and Sarah had, God saved Isaac, but not Ishmael. And then he pointed out Jacob and Esau, and pointed out that both of these were Israelites, they were Jews, but it says that that he saved Jacob, and he didn't save Esau. And so all of these things Paul is dealing with here in Romans 9. And I'm going to begin here reading back in verse Romans 22. Where Paul just wrote in verse 21 concerning the potter and the clay, and how the potter has power over that clay. It is speaking of God and his sovereign power to create. And he says, he has power over that clay to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor. And he brings up Pharaoh as an example, how he raised up Pharaoh to show his wrath. And then we'll begin reading here at verse 22, where it says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long sufferance the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore or before prepared unto glory. Even us, Paul says, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now, in verse 25, the verse that we'll begin reading here, Paul begins quoting a couple of the Old Testament prophets to point everybody back to this is not something new that God had come up with. It's always been that way. And he starts with verse 25. He says, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And then he says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Now, verse 25 here, the first verse that we'll look at, in the preceding verse, verse 24, where it says, even us, whom he had called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentile, the apostle has spoken of those, he's spoken of those who were called among the Jews and the Gentiles, whom God had prepared before unto glory. In this verse, verse 25, and the following verse, he explains that the calling of the Gentiles was not an unforeseen event, but that it was clearly foretold by the prophets. God, by the prophet Hosea, alluded to the calling of the Gentiles by the gospel. When he says in Hosea 2:23, and I will sow her unto the earth, in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Whenever Paul was confronted with the difficult question concerning the position of the Jews and the nation Israel as it relates to their relationship with God, whether it be the sovereignty of God in saving whom he will, or whether it be in man's responsibility toward God, Paul didn't argue with the men based on human logic and human understanding. He simply appealed to the Old Testament scriptures. We see this in Romans 9:13 and 15 when he quoted the Old Testament books of Malachi and of Exodus. Let's look at a few of these quotes. First, the quote from Malachi here in Romans 9:13, as it is written back in Malachi, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He did the same when he used the example of Pharaoh and quoted again from Exodus from the book of Romans. Look at Romans 9:15. It says, for he saith to Moses, pointing back to Exodus here, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Here in verse 25, he quotes the prophet Hosea and Isaiah to show that Israel, that God showed that the Israel that God had purposed and promised to save eternally was not national Israel, but spiritual Israel, who are made up of God's elect, both Jew and Gentile. He had stated that spiritual Israel is made up of those, according to Romans 9:24, whom he had called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. These that Paul said, whom he had called not of Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, it is these individuals who are the vessels of mercy, which God had afore or before prepared unto glory. Look at Romans 9:23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Paul's point in verse 25 is that this is no new message, as I said earlier, no new revelation. It has been the case from the beginning, and God foretold it by the prophets in the Old Testament, of which we can plainly see as we look throughout the book of Romans as Paul goes back and quotes a lot of the Old Testament prophets. Now, as we go on here in verse 25, as Paul quotes from the prophet Hosea in Hosea 2:23, Hosea says, I will sow her unto me in the earth. Our God will quicken and convert all the spiritual Israel, both Jew and Gentile. Then he says, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. according to the terms of the old covenant, those Gentiles had not obtained mercy. God had chosen the nation Israel, had mercy on that nation Israel. He chose them to reveal himself. He chose them to bring the Messiah through, and all these pictures and types throughout the Old Testament as he revealed himself to this Jewish nation, the Israelites, something that the Gentiles didn't have. They didn't have that at all. Then it says, "And I will say to them, which were not my people," that is, the Gentiles were not God's people according to the terms of that old covenant. He says, "He will say unto them, which were not my people, thou art my people." That is, according to the terms of the everlasting covenant of grace, Jew and Gentile, he says. And then he says, "And they shall say," they'll say this whenever God comes to them in his power of the Holy Spirit and converts them, they'll say, "Thou art my God." Now, even in the Old Testament, there was a distinction revealed between national Israel, a rebellious and unbelieving people, and spiritual Israel. And they're also a rebellious. By nature, they're rebellious and unbelieving. We all were by nature. But we've obtained mercy, obtained salvation by God's grace through faith in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 25, where it says, "The people which were not my people," describe Gentiles during the time of the old covenant. This statement only describes the Gentiles during that time where they were compared to national Israel under the old covenant. In describing the Gentiles under the old covenant, let's look at Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11, where it says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world." This is as he speaks of the Gentiles at that time. God's elect, Jew and Gentile, have always been his people, though. They've been his people spiritually and eternally in Christ. But during the time of the old covenant, God chose the nation Israel to be his people. But he did this in a national sense, in a temporal sense. The Gentiles were excluded from this national and temporal covenant. In this sense alone, they were not God's people. But in an eternal, spiritual sense, God's elect, both Jew and Gentile, had been chosen in Christ and chosen in him before the foundation of this world, justified by Christ's righteousness imputed to him. The same righteousness that would be worked out in time, and also in time Christ would come and redeem those by his blood. And all of spiritual Israel, both Jew and Gentiles, would eventually, in each successive generation, be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Then it says here in the last part of verse 25, "Her beloved, which were not beloved." The sense is not that God's chosen ones among the Gentiles were not the objects of his love before calling. The Lord loves his own with an everlasting love. And in Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God's love toward the objects of his love never changes, and it never diminishes. Never changes, never diminishes. God's love is unconditional. It's unearned toward us. We can't do anything to earn God's love. God's love's in Christ. Look at 1 John 4:10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, satisfaction for our sin." Always remember that God's love is in Christ. And his love toward his elect is never conditioned on their love toward him. Nor is it conditioned on any work done by them or in them in any way. Also, the calling of God's people to Christ is the fruit and the effect and the evidence of God's love for them. So the love of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Consistently, and it's unchangeably the same. However, under the old covenant, the majority of the Jews supposed that God had no love for any of the Gentiles, and that he had no purpose to save them. As it relates to how the Jews felt about the Gentiles, let's look at what happened to Jonah as God sent him to Nineveh. And y'all all familiar with the story about Jonah. He sent him to Nineveh, and Nineveh was a Gentile nation. John Gill says, and I quote, that this preaching by Jonah to the heathen people, to a heathen people after his deliverance out of the fish's belly, was a type of the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles by the apostles, unquote. I say this in order to point out that God saved Gentiles even during the time of the Old Covenant. Other examples of Gentiles that God chose to save were Ruth, Rahab, and many others. The Jews, however, viewed themselves as loved of God in an eternal, spiritual sense, and they viewed those Gentiles as those whom God did not and could not love. And anyway, let's look at our next verse, verse 26. Verse 26 says, "And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." The phrase, "and it shall come to pass," means that it was purposed and it was ordered by God from the beginning, and is prophesied by Hosea here in Hosea 1, verse 10, which reads, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God." In the place here, or in the stead of, referring where it was said, "You are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God," Paul's point is this: God's elect among the Gentile would be brought to faith in Christ not by coming to Israel and converting to the Jewish traditions as it was ordered under that old covenant, but by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, who brings them to faith and repentance in Christ, repenting from all dead works and former idolatry. When it says here, in Romans 9, in the last part of verse 26, "You are not my people," it means that the Gentiles under the old covenant, the covenant given only to the nation Israel, were not God's people. They were not his people in a national sense. The phrase here in Romans 9, 26, once again, the last part of this verse, "the children, you'd be called the children of the living God," or as Hosea describes them, as the sons of the living God. This describes specifically the Gentile believers, but it also includes any and every believer, both Jew and Gentile, who are washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness imputed. It describes any and every sinner, Jew and Gentile, who believes and rests in Christ for all of their salvation. The chosen of God among the Gentiles as well as the Jews was from all eternity predestinated to the adoption of children. This blessing was provided, it was laid up, and it was secured for them in the covenant of grace. As chosen of God, they were given to Christ as their surety, who in time did partake of the same flesh and blood with them, and he died to gather them together, both Jew and Gentile, all of the children of the living God. In our next verse, verse 27, it reads, "Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." The apostle, having already in verse 25 and 26 discussed the calling of the Gentile, here in verse 27 he begins to mention that there are also some of the Jews that are called. He uses Isaiah to show this is all according to prophecy, which is founded upon divine election and predestination. Paul gives proof of the calling of some from among the Jews, yet at the same time points out the casting off of a greater number of them, of the Jews. Paul quotes here from Isaiah 10, beginning at verse 22, showing that even though the number of the children of national Israel will be as the sand of the sea, they will be great. Only a remnant, a small number, shall be saved from that nation. We see here that it was never God's intention or purpose to save all national Israelites. Never was his intention or purpose. But it is also true that he has chosen his chosen people in that nation. It says here, a remnant, a small number shall be saved. Also, let's look ahead where the Apostle Paul speaks of himself as an Israelite whom God had not cast away. Look at Romans 11, 1 through 5. Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreseen, or foreknew. Woe ye not, what the scripture saith of Elijah? How did he make an intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now in verse 28 of Romans 9 reads, For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work would the Lord make upon the earth. Each time God revealed in the Old Testament the calling of the elect among the Gentiles, he also foretold the rejection, not of every individual Jew, but of the nation Israel as a whole. This vindicated God's faithfulness to save all of spiritual Israel, Jew and Gentile, as well as proved that God's purpose and promise to save has never been universal. And that salvation has never been conditioned on sinners in any way. At the appointed time, God would take vengeance upon the nation Israel for rejecting the Messiah and for rejecting salvation by his grace. Their destruction at that time would be short, swift, and thorough, and in righteousness. And he would be just in doing so. Under the old covenant, God used the nation Israel in picture and in type. It was through this nation, Israel, that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to come in time and do his great work of redemption. God promised it throughout the Old Testament, and Christ accomplished it. He accomplished it by his incarnation, his perfect obedience to God's law, and by his sacrificial death on the cross, wherein he paid the sin debt of all the Father gave him from all eternity. By Christ's work in abolishing the old covenant, by way of fulfillment, Christ finished his work, and by this work, the Gentiles were brought nigh unto God. Look again in Romans 9:26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. God did make a, you know, God, there's many times when they were accusing God or saying things like, when's he going to come back? When is this going to happen? And questioning God in these things. And God's going to do his work. He's going to complete his work, and he has. It was a short work that Christ had accomplished. When he worked out that righteousness, it wasn't short to individuals that look at it. They look forward to it, and it was a couple thousand years. And even now, since Christ has come, it's been just a long period of time. But God's faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his promise to save all of his children, all of spiritual Israel, all that come to him by faith. And he's going to do it in his time. And with us, it looks like a long time. But with God, it's not. And so in Romans 9:29 here, it says, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been like Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. He again quotes from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1 verse 9 to prove that the nation Israel would have been totally annihilated except the Lord of Sabbath or Sabaoth, or the Lord of Hosts, is what that means, a great army which describes the invincibility of God, had left us a seed, a small remnant of believing Jews. We had been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. God had never promised to save all Jews without exception, but he also did not determine to destroy all Jews without exception. There was always, and now is, a remnant according to grace. They, like the elect Gentiles, are the seed, the spiritual offspring of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Look at Psalm 22 and begin at verse 30, which reads, a seed shall serve him, speaking of serving Christ, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. This remnant shall come to faith in Christ and repentance from dead works and former idolatry. From this revealed truth, God commands all without exception to believe his promise of salvation conditioned on Christ alone. He commands them to seek justification and eternal life in him alone. Paul had a sincere love for his kinsmen according to the flesh. He desired their salvation, but he would not compromise God's glory by speaking peace to them while they were walking contrary to God's gospel. While they were in unbelief, they were ignorant of Christ's righteousness, and therefore by default they were seeking to work out a righteousness of their own. Look at Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And we can all relate to this in our former religions. Most of us here were sitting in some religious organization, worshiping a God of our own imagination, a God that we thought was the true God. We had a lot of zeal. Most of us taught Sunday school classes and delivered messages. But it says here, they had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And we didn't have that knowledge of who God was. We didn't have that knowledge of God's righteousness as the only way that he'll save a sinner. And it says that in verse 3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, the only righteousness whereby God will save a sinner. And it tells you what God's righteousness is as it goes on. It says, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Then in verse 4, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ worked out that righteousness, called God's righteousness. That righteousness that we all must have to stand before Him without blame, that's that perfect standard that we must have, a perfect righteousness that Christ worked out. And it must be imputed. It must be accounted to us legally by God. Well, even though the vast majority of Paul's kinsmen, according to the flesh, they did perish, God did determine to save a remnant, a small number, which included the Apostle Paul. Let's look at what Paul writes a little later on in chapter 11 concerning God not casting away all the Israelites, but determining to save a remnant of his own pleasure. Let's look at Romans 11, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Paul makes it clear that he was a Jew. He was an Israelite. He was a part of that national Israel. And he says that he has not cast away his people. He foreknew. And he points to himself, that God had saved him by his grace. Looking over in Revelation 5:9, in order to see where God's people will come from, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, this is speaking of Christ, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God saves sinners out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. He has his elect throughout the world. And I tell you what, I see it more and more as I look at as we have our website out there and we have people communicate with us all over the world, all over the United States. And they're a group here, a group in California, might be a couple here, a couple in Wyoming, a couple in Montana, a couple in Texas, a couple in Pennsylvania. They're just spread out, a little here, a few here, and over in Europe, same thing. Had a lady contact me from Europe and changing her email address, and she follows and she loves this gospel. Same gospel we love, but they're few, but they're spread out. And there's in one sense there's a few that we can't physically see all of them, but there's a great number out there that God's chosen. And we pray as we in our ministry here in Albany, Georgia, as we attempt to get the gospel out in every means that all the means that we have, that God has many more elect here in Albany, Georgia, in this area, in South Georgia, that He'll call by this gospel that we believe here. Now, God's faithful, as I said, to His promise to save all Israel, which is not all of the entire physical nation Israel, but all of spiritual Israel, which includes both Jew and Gentile. God never intended to save the entire nation of Israel, as I said earlier, but He does say that a remnant shall be saved, a people of His own choosing. He calls them His elect, His sheep, His adopted children. And I pray that the Lord will use this message as He sees fit, that sinners might be saved, that they may come to know the true and living God, who is a just God and a Savior. Amen.